The Data Reaper podcast is a companion which provides extra insight into the weekly report found at viciousyndicate.com. Join us for a deeper dive into the numbers to help you improve your Hearthstone game.
Hello and welcome to episode 113 of the Data Reaper podcast. I am your host, Ridiculous Hat, and I am joined, as always, by Tamsin Zacko. Zach, how you doing?
How you doing, Hat?
Doing all right.
Yeah, we had the launch of the expansion on Monday.
We did.
That's basically what happened.
The patch, the Renathal nerf and also the other 18 changes in standard. Really substantial in terms of what changed. So no report this week because we have to wait for the dust to settle. But suffice to say, things are different now.
Yeah, obviously very, very different. Renathal change. We should, for content text, quickly read out the changes.
Okay, I can do that.
You can do that.
So the changes that we have so far, the most important one by a large margin is Renathal moving from 40 health to 35 health, still 40 cards. Demon Hunter cards got adjusted. Unleash Fel went from Mana Thirst 4 to Mana Thirst 6. Relic of Dimensions went from 5 to 6. Anubricon only hits the 3 minions after you play him. It's only 3 total minions. So do not play your Crypt Keepers after you play Anubricon. You will eat into your charges. Boon of the Ascended went from 4 mana to 5 mana. Priestess Felish went from 0 mana to 1 mana. Necrolord Draka, 4 to 5. Sinstone Graveyard, 2 to 3. Sketchy Information, 3 to 4. Forsaken Lieutenant, 2 to 3. They also buffed a bunch of DK cards. There's one frost buff. You want to skip those?
We can skip that. Skip the buffs.
Because the best DK deck doesn't play them. I will say, Obliterate, it's a buff to Schoolteacher at the very least. Went from 2 mana, destroy a minion, take damage equal to its health. It's now destroy a minion, take 3. So it's a much, much better and very different card.
I mean, it's relevant for blood, but
and
yeah, most of the buffs... Most of the Death Knight buffs, you can just skip them. They don't matter.
They were for Unholy.
Yeah. But yeah, obviously, you know, Miracle Rogue nerfed severely. Deathrattle Rogue gutted. Demon Hunter nerfed. Blessed Priest nerfed substantially. What else was there?
Druid.
Nerfed again. So big changes. And especially big changes to the decks that, you know, would early blow out you without any ability to respond whatsoever. Talking mostly about Miracle Rogue, Quest, Demon Hunter, and Blessed Priest. Death Rattle Rogue, obviously dominant, was extremely dominant outside of Legend. So it was pretty severely nerfed as well. And now we have a new format. We'll start talking about the decks that exist now. What survived? What got hit too hard? What got hit too lightly? We'll see. But the most popular class on ladder now has been Death Knight by a significant margin. And its popularity, unlike before the patch, does not dwindle much at Legend. And continues to stay strong throughout ladder, with the popular deck, the most popular deck being a Frost Death Knight, the 30 card Frost Burn Death Knight, rather than the Renathal build that was more popular before the patch.
I wonder how long after the Renathal change we'll have to specify 30, because probably in a week or two, everything's going to be 30, except for if something is not, we'll have to specify. But I would assume most of the decks going forward are going to be 30 cards because Renathal is just so much worse.
I mean, I'll get to it with every class and we'll see you after we finish the recording of the podcast where Renathal is situated. But overall, there was a full transition in Frost Death Knight from Renathal builds to a 30 card burn builds. The most popular build, I think, came from Tice. none of the cards that Frost Death Knight utilizes right now are cards that were buffed. None of them. It's basically cards that were available before the balance changes. But the patch made the format so different that Frost Death Knight standing in the formats drastically changed. And from a fringe tier 3 deck that, you know, barely was competitive, was pretty lackluster, it's now one of the best decks in the game. It's a tier 1 deck. Frost Death Knight is really, really good. It's has an insanely good matchup spread. I think it only, the one matchup where it loses is like Ramp Druid, and it also struggles against Big Spell Mage. But other than that, everything else is like close, like even to favored. It's a really, really powerful deck right now. And the Renathal nerf was a significant contributor to that, because basically what Renathal did and Renathal nerf did, and you're going to see this across multiple classes, it made burn so much better. Like direct damage spells are so much more valuable now, because a substantial portion of the format no longer has 40 health. In addition to that, a lot of the matchups with, like, you know, Miracle Rogue and Blessed Priest and Quest DH, these decks would blow out the Death Knight before they had a chance even to respond. And since the early blowouts are, or Death Rattle Rogue as well, though that matchup I think was fine for Frost, but generally what happened with the format is that there are less, the meta is faster because Renathal got nerfed, but the number of non-games where, you know, the games are decided by turn 4 or 5 because somebody blew out the opponent with some oppressive play have substantially been cut down, and that really helps Death Knight, you know, get to its power spike, because its power spike are a bit slower. Like, Death Knight's power spike is Frostworm's Fury. It's a turn 7 play, unless you discount it with a weapon that I question even needs to be included in Rainfang Sword. But the point is, Death Knight is just, like the field just got so much better that Frost Death Knight, even though it didn't get any buffs, could transition into a 30-card build and thrive. And it's doing really well. I recommend the Tize build for now. Though I will say Rainfang Sword is a card that I think people are, you know, it's psychologically better than it actually is, because the discounts, you know, people really like that. Or things like Vizier is a card that I also question. Though we'll see if there are better options there. Or a School Teacher. People really like Discover. But I'm not sure, like, Discover isn't that good. Like, as good as it's perceived to be in Frost Death Knight. Because you're mostly focused in this deck. You're pretty fast. You're mostly focused on drawing a bunch of cards, stalling a bit, and you start burning out the opponent very, very quickly. You have a pretty significant clock on the opponent, not because you have some OTK. OTK builds, like things like Guild Trader, not really worth it. Not worth playing. You'd rather just run a good all-around build that doesn't really set up OTKs, but you still, you know, almost by accident with Lady Deathswith Spur, come to a situation where you can just 15 burst someone from 15 health. You don't need the OTK, but you have chip damage, you have Frostman's Fury, which is significant. You have the ability to copy and discover more damage spells. So you have Astalor, obviously. Astalor is a really good card. And
we're going to be saying that a lot this show.
Yeah, Astalor is a really good card in any sort of Burny deck. So you have a lot of gas. And again, opponents are less resilient as they were before the patch. So Frost Death Knight is just really, really good. Really, really strong. I recommend this deck in general. Like, if you want a deck that's just good all around, then Frost Death Knight is great. And I think that we might be able to improve it next week even further. I think there is room for experimentation in the build, and I don't think that It's completely solidified. There are some cards that I think might be, like right now I'm seeing some underwhelming cards, and the question is, are there cards that are better, right? Because everyone has completely, you know, solidified behind like two builds. And those builds pretty much run the same cards. So if people start experimenting with more stuff and be brave and cut that vizier and find something else that fits, maybe you find, you know, better things to do. But for now, this build does well, right? You don't need to refine it that much because it's already like tier one. And it works. So Frost Death Knight is really good. Tier one, Death Knight is started. This is the start of its expansion. The Renathal nerf and all the other nerfs were huge in helping this deck be viable, become very good without any buffs, right? No buffs. Blood Death Knight is another story. Blood Death Knight got nerfed, obviously, with the Renathal nerf, and the meta has not really gotten better for it because, you know, Blessed Priest and Miracle Rogue were actually matchups that it was very comfortable in.
Kind of the same way how Priest, like Control Priest and Quest Priest were working. When single target removal or mass damage agnostic removal is good, then you can get some value out of these decks. But when you're fighting against Burn from Hand.
Right. Yeah. Like Asphyxiate was a very valuable card in the previous format.
Kind of funny how new Obliterate would be so great against every deck that got nerfed. Well, not Quest DH, but it'd be really good against Rogue and Boon Priest in particular. Obliterate would have been the nuts.
Yeah,
there,
but you still, you had Asphyxiate, so that was still good. That did its job well. But now, instead of Miracle Rogue, you're running into Thief Rogues that have, like, basically infinite value, an insane amount of reloading the board and making more and more threats. And that's not a very comfortable matchup for you. You'd rather face the Miracle Rogue as a Blood Death Knight, for sure. You know, and you don't have as much health. Renathal, like, you're kind of forced to run Renathal, but you don't really want to as a Blood Death Knight. And, you know, I'd like to see more experimentation with non-Renathal builds. I think they could be fine, but the archetype as a whole is just not fine because it pretty much, the meta got worse for it rather than better. And it also got nerfed, right? The Renathal affected it in a way that is counterproductive on both sides of the equation. On the one hand, you got directly nerfed by Renathal. The other thing is you're kind of taxed. Like control removal fatigue decks are kind of forced to run Renathal in order to be able to execute the game plan.
It's the Elysiana problem, right? Like, it's if you have Renathal and your opponent doesn't, then you win the fatigue matchup.
Yeah, so it's like Elysiana, it turned Renathal into an Elysiana tax. And I think that's going to hurt, attrition, control, removal decks going forward to the point where, you know, you might as well just unnerf Renathal and rotate it out to Wild, where it's far more likable and far more reasonable there. I think that Renathal's presence as an underpowered, but still much better version than Elysiana, I think might be a problem for these kind of archetypes going forward. And it might be better just to remove the card completely from the format and let these archetypes breathe a little, because I'm seeing a problem here with an underpowered Renathal being a constant tax presence on these decks. But that's like a bigger subject, but on the micro side of things, Blood Death Knight just doesn't work. It's not good. It looks like a tier four. It looks worse than it was before the patch. Don't play Blood Death Knight. It's bait. Anyone who's posting a list, it's bait. it's not good. And Unholy is garbage. Like, none of the nerfs mattered. It's still far too fair. They were very, very conservative with the buffs that they gave this archetype. And they can do so much more to make that deck playable. They can do so much more with blood. Like, you want to make the 30 card better, you make something like Corrupted Ashbringer 5 mana is something that they can do. Just give it damage. Give it the ability to kill opponents. With Unholy, I don't understand why Graveyard Shift at 3 mana. It's 2 mermaids. Just make it 2. Suddenly, Unholy has a turn 2 play. Instead, they focused on the Corpse Bride, Stitch Giant interaction, which is okay, but it's turn 5. At this point, you're playing against Frost Death Knight. They're already about to freeze your board over and over, and you're never going to get anything done. By that time, the Thief Rogue managed to play Queen Ajara and scammed you with some Colossal. It's not something that you can reliably build towards and have it be a game ender. It's just not really realistic. And you have to remember, Arms Dealer still sucks. Banshee still sucks. These neutral undead minions are not good. They don't make a good shell for an aggressive deck. So neither the Giants version or the, you know, aggro druid like version are comparable and are capable of competing in the format. So Unholy is trash and needs more work. And Blood as well would need more buffs in order to be viable. And there's like a lot of cards that you can buff from these archetypes to make them compete. And yeah, that's it for Death Knight. So Death Knight is good now, but it's just Frost. Frost is very good. The other ones, not so much.
You can kind of tell that Frost was also built to be successful. It was built to be the thing.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it depends on what kind of format you're looking at. If I'm looking at a Sunken City Nathria format, then I think Unholy would have a far better chance.
Well, I mean, rotation won't take too long. It's Frost would, like, I mean, you think about what Frost would have been like in Voyage, like, this deck would have been completely ridiculous, would have been way over the top, but it matched up with what we have now.
Yeah, it does a much better job. I mean, it's got the Snowfall Guardian, the Snowburn Guardian. It's got abilities to stall boards, and it has a lot of direct damage, so, you know, once Renathal got nerfed, and suddenly it's getting into lethal range on turn 8 very consistently.
Turn 8. You ever seen a Death Whisper on 4? It's turn 5. Like, it's usually a little slower, but the Death Whisper turns are crazy sometimes.
Yeah, the Death Whisper into the 4 Glacial Advances is something, oof, right? It can happen. But I'm talking about mostly what Death Knight does when it doesn't high roll, when it doesn't get the perfect draw. Like, you just Frostwind's Fury on 7, and on turn 8, you're putting yourself in a position to burn most opponents down, right? That at the very latest, right? And sometimes, you know, you get a perfect hand where you can Glacial Advance your way into a very early lethal. But we're talking about normal, like the normal hand. The game length of the average Frost Death Knight game is around 7.5 turns. So I'm exactly talking about, you know, that area, that Frost Frooms Fury area. Okay, so that was Death Knight. And now we go to Rogue. Rogue got brutally nerfs.
There were two main strategies where the entire draw was doing things that cheated way too quickly. And Team 5 was like, hey, stop cheating. And Rogue is like, guess I'll die. And so the only thing that's left is Wild Punnels.
Yeah, Death Rattle Rogue got brutally nerfed. Like, the nerfs were severe, and the result is that the deck is, though some people still play it because they don't know that it's absolutely unplayable. It's tier 4 pretty much everywhere on ladder. It's going to die out. It's going to disappear. It's not a thing. Miracle Rogue, I am not ready to call it. I think that Miracle Rogue can survive Hat.
Okay.
Miracle Rogue can survive. The thing is, if you remember, in the first report, I featured and mentioned two different builds of Miracle Rogue. There was the all-in Draka, right? 8 minions. Some people even cut it down to like 5 minions with Shroud. And just getting the biggest Draka turn possible alongside the biggest Sinstone graveyards possible. But there was another build, which was a deconcoction build, that ran like Astalor and ran other like good cards.
Running Astalor and March of the Lich King standard. How bold.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Had more of game, more of an all-around game that's not just centered on Sinstone Graveyard and Draka.
Yeah, you're not shadow-stepping Mailbox Dancers in this deck.
You can. You can. You did it. You could do it. But it's not reliant on it. You could win with like concoctions, with potion belt stuff, right? So this build that we had in the report, in the last report, the concoction build, I think can compete. People are not playing it enough, but from what I see, I think it has a potential to stay in the meta and be a viable and competitive deck in the format, and a pretty good deck. Like, it could be, like, again, I'm talking mostly, this is Miracle Rogue, so when I'm talking about Miracle, I'm mostly going to talk about high levels of play. I think this deck could be tier 2. Because you remember that the meta changed and a lot of decks that would lose to Sinstone Graveyard have appeared, right? Are more popular now. You don't see as much of the decks that, you know, there's no Blessed Priest anymore, which is a tough matchup. And Quest Age got nerfed as well. So Miracle Rogue has more a favorable field if it manages to figure out a build that works for it. And I do think that the build that we had in the report, in the last report, that ran, you know, it still ran double Mailbox Dancer, but ran more minions, concoctions. I think that deck works. And I think Miracle Rogue is not actually dead. But again, I need more of a sample on it. You know, Miracle Rogue is like, has a, like a slightly over 1% play rate at Legend. And some of it is obviously contaminated by the all-in, you know, Draka build. So I need to see more. I need to have more data on it in order to confirm it. But I suspect that 1.5 around play rate of Miracle Rogue at top Legend, absolutely viable deck and competitive deck as long as you go the concoction build. Forget about, you still run Draka. You still run Sinstone Graveyard. And they're, you know, Sinstone Graveyard is still a good card. I'm not sure about Draka, but Sinstone Graveyard is still good. So it's still 3 mana, 16-16 stats on the average game. It's still good. But good, you're not all in on it. You don't need it as much. You can just go concoctions and just win. Faster matchups, you just win with concoctions very often. Like, just, you know, outpace the opponent that way. But yeah, so Miracle Rogue is not dead. It is not dead. I don't think so. I think it's going to recover based on its performance, and I think it might be tier 2 at top Legend if you go that build. So that's, but we have to also mention the emerging new deck in the Rogue class that, before we talk about Thief, right? That's most popular. There's also Garrote Rogue.
Oh, yes. I was waiting for this.
Garrote Rogue is back at. It is a deck that is played by players, and it has a 20% win rate. So don't play it because it's complete garbage.
So on HSR, I looked up on HS Replay. There's one list of Garrote Rogue. Small sample size, 500 games at Diamond through Legend, 19.2% win rate. At Legend only, cutting out the games at Diamond, it drops to 17.4%.
Reverse skill cap?
It's possible that your opponents get better at throwing anything at your face and then you just lose.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty incredible to see. There's just absolutely nothing here.
Yeah, there's absolutely nothing. It's complete garbage. 20% win rate. That's what I saw, like around that number. So it makes sense. Yeah, don't waste your time. It's completely unplayable. Okay, so we nerfed Death Rattle, we nerfed Miracle. Miracle Rogue might survive, but Rogue is still a really popular class because everybody just gravitated to Thief Rogue. And Thief Rogue is a deck that people really enjoy playing. We know that. There are a lot of aggressive decks in the format right now. And top Legend players like to play late game strategies with like a lot of cards in hand. That's the tendency. They really like the resource focused decks. They're not that eager to play things like pure Paladin. So what happened is that Thief Rogue is one of those only options for those type of players. So you start seeing like top Legend, Thief Rogue has a near 25% play rate, which is insane. I get Legend at around Legend. Its play rate is like over 15%. At Diamond, its play rate is under 10%. At top Legend, jumps to 25%. So, yeah. Now, is it because T-Frog is insane at top Legend? No. It's a good deck. It's a good deck, but it doesn't look like a tier one, you know, meta Tyrant or anything like that. It has a reasonable matchup spread, but has a tough matchup against Frost Death Knight. It's like 45-55 looking like. The matchup against, you know, there's things like Pure Paladin, Quest Demon Hunter, Phylactery Warlock, we'll talk, Frost Mage. Yeah. There's a lot of matchups that Thief Rogue kind of slightly loses, right? It doesn't have hard counters, but it's got a lot of 45-55 matchups. So even though it does well against things like Blood Death Knight, which sucks, right? It's actually not that well positioned in the format. So when you look at the big picture, Thief Rogue isn't that hot. It isn't that great of a deck. But it's really popular because people really like playing it, and there's a strong perception of power that surrounds this deck. But when you look at it objectively and its matchup spread, even at the highest levels of play where this deck gets a little bit of a bump because the skill ceiling is above average. It's not insane, but it's above average. But even there, you're looking at it and you're saying, oh, this deck is like tier 2, but it's actually getting carried by a very good Blood Death Knight matchup. And people play Blood Death Knight. It's way too popular. Like Blood Death Knight is garbage and it sees almost 10% play at some rank brackets. So it shouldn't be that popular. So if Blood Death Knight disappears, then Thief Rogue's matchup spread is basically beats almost nothing relevant. So it's not that amazing of a deck. It's a decent deck. It's okay, but it's not amazing. I will say though, that the stats are lying a little bit. Because after the patch, 30 cards is the way to go. You don't run Renathal. There's some leftover Renathal. It does hurt the archetype to some degree, but most players have transitioned away from Renathal and Thief. I refer you to Zhao T's build where he hit double one. On the first day of the patch, naturally, this is what's going to happen. Somebody hits number one legend the first day of the patch. Everybody plays that deck. And that over the next few days, you know, the field changes, that people play better decks, and the deck may not perform as well as it did. But the Zhao T build, I really like it. I think it could be perfect 30. The sketchy stranger is the inclusion that's not intuitive, considering you drop the secret package, but you still run Sketchy Stranger. And the reason why you do that is that because the secrets can be really disruptive. Like against a matchup like Quest Demon Hunter, if you get an objection and you're able to play objection and then stash and get in more objections, that's the way you can win the matchup in the late game against the Quest DH. Because normally you need to scam them with like Trickster, Jackpot kind of stuff, or Azara, early Azara. But with Sketchy Stranger, it gives you another outlet to kind of disrupt your opponent. So even though you don't run the secret package, Sketchy Stranger is just good. You drop it on turn two, you don't come out of the disguise, you still proc a null, right? Discount your nulls. It's a really good card in that deck. I think it's better than Tooth of Nefarian, based on what I'm seeing. So run that build. It's pretty good. Forget about Renathal. Drop it like it's hot. It's not a thing anymore. Like it's just worse. You're making your deck worse by like over 2%. That's what I'm seeing right now. We'll see how it is next week, but I'm pretty confident you're not running Renathal anymore in Thief Rogue. And it does make you feel a little bit better to play, in my opinion. Like the Jackpot Trickster is more consistent, the Azara is more consistent. You know, we forget, but there's upsides. There's a lot of upsides to not running Renathal. And yeah, it seems to work fine. Though again, as I said, it's a little bit overrated. Thief Rogue is not that amazing. based on its performance, even when I'm taking into account the Renathal effect, that there are builds that are a bit worse because they're running Renathal. I don't think that Thief Rogue is that amazing. So yeah, Rogue is in a fine spot, mostly playing Gnolls. There will be some questions about rotation. There is a concern that this class is going to be nuked from orbit after rotation, because once Gnolls are gone, then what do you do?
We'll play Pirate Rogue. We'll play Pirates.
Oh my.
It's Jesse Alexander just unsubscribed from the podcast when I said that.
Yeah. Rogue keeps doing naughty things, getting nerfed, and then it goes back to wild panels. That's what it has left. But as I said, Miracle Rogue, I'm telling you, Miracle Rogue, I think is fine. If you go full concoctions, if you go full cock hat,
I'm not saying
Rogue is fine. Okay, so that's the update on Rogue. And the next class is Druid. Druid got a lot of nerfs, got a Renathal nerf, got a Nubrakan nerf. It keeps getting nerfed, yet it stays around, and it's very popular too. It stays really popular because, again, what do people want to play? They don't want to play one of the 10 aggro decks or 10 burn fast decks that are in the format. They want to go late game. They want to do neat combos, late game combos, and Ramp Druid gives them that option. Ramp Druid is another deck that I think is being heavily carried by the popularity of Death Knight, specifically Blood. I think once that matchup goes away, I think its outlook will be worse.
Is Ramp good against Frost? It's good against Frost, right?
Yes. Yes. Though I will say, again, Ramp Druid is good against Frost. It's also good against Demon Hunter. It's one of the only decks, might be the only deck in the format, that beats both Demon Hunter and Death Knight, the good Death Knight. It beats both Death Knights, but the relevant matchup is its good matchup against Frost. So I can see Ramp Druid becoming this counterpicked in order to counter both of these decks. The problem is Ramp Druid is absolutely horrific against aggressive decks, and it got worse after this patch, because you either run Renathal, which you shouldn't, by the way. You should not. But the Renathal build obviously works against aggressive deck because you lost 5 health. And obviously the 30 build is not very well positioned to deal with aggressive decks. So you see, like, pure paladin matchup is like 1585. Or like the aggro druid matchup is 2080. Or the imp warlock matchup is like 1585. It's got way too many 1585 matchups. So even though it's pretty well situated, like Thief Rogue is a fine matchup. Frost Death Knight is a good matchup. Quest Demon Hunter is a good matchup. Like, it's got some good late game matchups. The aggressive decks absolutely obliterate Ramp Druid. Though I will say that Ramp Druid post patch is a difficult deck to build, and most of the 30 card builds are bait, not because they're 30 cards, but because people are going into rabbit holes when they're building this deck. There are two popular builds in Ramp Druid right now that don't run Renathal, and see enough play for me to see them in the radar and see them clearly and know where they're coming from. And both of them are overcoping with getting a Nubrakan as quickly as possible with tutors. There's a Talon build, and I think that came from Jarla. And there's also a Due Process Fire Watch Post build with Capture Cold Tooth Mine. You run a Nubrakan as your only 8. You don't run Crypt Keepers, and you try and draw an Ubercon as quickly as possible so you can combo Bran, an Ubercon, Astalor, blah, 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 you know. Because that combo is still viable. Even though an Ubercon can only play 3 minions, all you need to do is you play the 2-mana Astalor, you have a 5-mana in hand, and then you do the combo. Bran, an Ubercon, 5-mana Astalor, double 8, kill the opponent. That still works. So people are they're very fixated into accomplishing that as quickly as possible. This is not the way, guys. You don't need to tutor a Nubrakan because you still need to draw Bran and you still need to draw the Astalor. So even if you get the Nubrakan early, it's not guaranteed that you go off early. You need to play a well-rounded deck. And 30 card builds that don't do that, that still run the Creep Keepers, which help you in aggressive matchups because it's a free taunt, And another direction that I'm interested in, I'm curious to see more data on, is Naga Giants. If you're running Miracle Growth and you're running Scale of Onyxia and you're not running Renathal anymore, you draw the Naga Giants more consistently. You can get a big board earlier, which is very good counter pressure in faster matchups if you manage to stabilize. But it's like another threat that occupies your opponent while you're assembling your combo. So not going the Tutor and Ubercon as quickly as possible route and just making a good 30-card build, I think, is a direction that might help Ram Druid do better in faster matchups while not hurting its slower matchups at all. So I think that Ram Druid, even though based on its performance right now, it's like tier 3 niche counter pick kind of deal where it tries to just queue up into like the Thief Rogue, the Frost, the Death Knights, and the Demon Hunter, I think can be more well-rounded if it goes to that, those just good cards route, more survivability options, rather than over-fixate on the combo, right? The Astralurk brand combo. So I think that Ram Druid has room to improve, and I'll probably work on it next week. I think Ram Druid is going to be competitive. I'm personally surprised. I think it would have been absolutely dead without Renathal and, you know, the additional nerf that it got. But surprisingly, it can drop the Nathrius, it can drop Renathal, and it can still compete as long as it figures out a decent list. And Thief Rogue did that very early. Did that on the first day. Ram Druid might take more time. And I think that once it does that, I think it should be fine. It's still not going to be great in the aggressive matchups. It's still going to be a polarizing deck, but I think it's going to be better than it is right now, what it's looking right now. Renathal, forget it. Don't overfixate on tutoring an Ubercon. That's a rabbit hole. It's a bait. Agadruid is also good, naturally. You know, you have a new meta. You have, obviously, Renathal is gone, and some of its bad matchups have disappeared, though. I wouldn't say it's better after the patch because Frost Death Knight is a tough matchup for Agri-Druid. And it is very popular. So Agri-Druid looks fine. Looks like a good deck. Not the best deck anywhere, but it seems to do fine. Some people have started to play Prester Druid. I'm noticing it.
Oh, boy.
Take over the last. Yeah, but it's trash. Forget it. It runs Renathal, so you already know it's trash. there's no way. No way, guys. Okay, Mage. Mage is, wow. Mage is like, man, if there's a class that really, really enjoyed the Renathal nerf, even though it previously utilized the Renathal nerf, I will give you some context. After the report came out, there was a world championship. Who got to the finals? Bunny Hopper and Dead Draw. What was in common? They practiced together. They prepped for the tournament together. Both of them came up with, I think there were other players who also brought that archetype, but Spooky Mage with Renathal and Double Mass Polymorph in order to counter the Miracle Rogue Blessed Priest was an absolute genius bring to the tournament. It was the absolute meta breaker of the world championship and was a huge factor in those players' success and the reason why they reached the finals. They just had the perfect meta read and they brought a deck that people didn't play before. It was just completely out of sight, out of the radar. And after it popped up, I looked at its performance on ladder and it was a meta breaker on ladder 2. It was very, very good. It was a very, very good deck. Very successful. But obviously, what happened after? Renathal got nerfed. And that obviously impacted that archetype's performance, and I can no longer recommend it. It is not the way to go. If you want to go Spooky Mage, you go 30 cards. That is the correct way. Again, last couple of slots, I'm still questioning. Why is it worth running the Finley? Maybe it is. Maybe the meta is fast to the point where you really need that Magister Dawngrasp on 7 every time, or you just can't win. I don't know. But 30-card Spooky Mage looks good. It looks like a deck that can definitely compete, and it has great late game. It's got good damage, good sustainability, good survivability. Absolutely a deck. You know, Solid Alibi is huge in a matchup like against Frost Death Knight. Like, that Solid Alibi can buy you time. There are a lot of other matchups like Demon Hunter, where that Solid Alibi can be huge in stalling the game and allowing you to kill before being killed. So Spooky Mage is good. But Spooky Mage is nowhere near being the best deck in its own class, because Frost Mage, aggro Frost Mage. I don't like calling it aggro mage, because it's like this is like there's a lot of aggression going on.
It's not quite aggro. It's kind of more of a tempo deck.
No, it's not a tempo. It's a burn deck.
Play a mana worm on one, and you kill them with a bunch of burn on like turn 7. I don't know. It's in the ballpark. I get what you're saying, though.
I'm going to call it Frost Mage because it's centered around the Frost Spell package. It runs
it's
only
really
Frost
just like
Spells.
Frozen
and it
Touch
does...
Mage more than anything. Like, the Frost stuff is key, but Frozen Touch is the nuts.
Yeah, Frozen, you run Frostweave Dungeoneer, you run all Frost, you run some spell damage, right? You run Astalor, obviously, and you kill them with Frozen Touch, mostly. Like, this deck is very centered on Frozen Touch, and this deck looks insane. This might be the best deck on ladder.
It's really, really good. I've attempted to make changes to it every so often, but don't sleep on the Deathborns. You need those Deathborns. They are crazy sometimes.
No, you never cut Deathborn.
Yeah, you'll pop your own skeletons and then make more. It's really, really powerful. I've been surprised by it.
Here's the thing. People made jokes about me, you know, being the Obama, giving a medal to my own Obama, right? You remember that meme?
They are very funny jokes.
Trust VS. We know how to build decks. The list in the report is nearly perfect. With the Astralor edition, the Prismatic Elemental edition, the Sus Alchemist edition, these cards are fine. You don't keep Sus Alchemist in the mulligan. Like, here's what people do. Like, a mistake people commonly do, they keep the cheap cards, right? I have a one drop, I keep the one drop. No, there are cards you can go for. When you have a lot of one drops, you can trust yourself. I have 4 one drops. I'm going to find one of them. And I think the only one drop that you keep, hard keep, is like Shivering Sorceress. Everything else you pitch, you try to find Frostweave Dungeoneer. Like, that is the card that makes the deck work because it's such a powerful turn 3. And if you can find like Frostweave Dungeoneer, Shivering Sorceress, in faster matchups, you can even dare to keep a Deathborn if your hand is already good.
Snowflurry is pretty good too. Snowflurry is not a bad
Snowflurry, Prismatic Elemental is also a good card.
And if your hand is decent, you keep Egwene because she is crazy on curve.
Yeah. Egwene also. So don't overfixate on just keeping the cheap card.
Yeah. Do not keep Arcane Worm. If you keep Arcane Worm, I will come to your house and tell you to stop doing that. Do not keep Arcane Worm. It's a Gold Trigger Footman. It's not worth it. Do not keep that card.
Like, in some matchups, obviously, I think it's pretty obvious what matchups Trog is good at, right? You keep Trog in those matchups. You don't always keep Trog, but in the matchups where Trog is a killer, then you keep it. So the point is, the deck has 4 one drops. You don't need to keep them. In many situations, people overkeep them. But the other thing that's like really strikes me about this deck is that it just, even though it's pretty aggressive, right? It has a pretty low curve. It can go for a long time. Like, it has really good longevity, especially with Sus Alchemist and Prismatic Elemental both in the deck. You have a lot of Discover. The only card that I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to cut for next week is Crooked Cook. You really don't need that one. That's the one card. That's the reason why I'm not saying perfect 30 VS. Got it 30 correct. Probably try School Teacher in that slot, because the deck, the only 4 drop you have is Cold Case. If you run School Teacher, you do get some more sustainability. It's a body that gives you something that you can do with the Naga Link. That can work. I would try School Teacher in that slot. And again, the deck is fast, but not that fast, so it can accommodate another turn 4 play, so you have a very consistent curve. You have a bunch of 1 drops, and you're very likely to find one of them, even if you don't mulligan for them. You have 2 drops, 3 drops, 4 drops, Egwene. Once you play, if you play Egwene on 5, then you're in a really good position. You have a lot of cheap minions that you get. If they get the Egwene buff, you can burn your opponent with Frozen Touch. That's basically the way that this deck wins. And it's really good. This deck is insane.
Yep. I've been very surprised by Prismatic Elemental as well. Like, the card is really strong, and
I'm not surprised.
And with Sivira, you can, like, I played against this today, and they used Sivira to get back a Shadow Word Death. Like, the second Shadow Word Death was very powerful.
Yeah, there's like, Prismatic Elemental is a card that I suspected would be very good. It gives you a new dimension because it gives you some tools that you normally don't have access to. So suddenly, like, oh, I have hard removal. Yeah, I have Fire and Shadow Word Death. Sometimes it gives you additional burn, which is very good. Just really good card in the archetype. Like, this deck is insane. How insane is this deck? This deck has no bad matchups. I don't know. This deck is broken. Like, I honestly, like, maybe Quest... Wait, no, the Quest DH matchup
Big Spell
got
Mage.
A lot better because of the... I think Big Spell Mage is the only matchup that's, like, tough for this deck. But even that matchup is 55-45, something like that. And then everything else is, like, blue. This deck beats everything. Crazy. This deck just beats everything. Is this deck just broken, Ad?
I mean, typically for a deck to be not broken, you need to be able to speak to what beats it, and you can't, and you're the data guy. So I was hoping would know, because apparently it's just Big Spell Mage half the time, slightly more than half the time, or move on to the next game.
Yeah, it's really, really good deck. Now, I do suspect because it's refined, it's very, very refined, because it was, you know, 28 out of 30 is pretty good before a game was played in this patch. So I suspect part of it has to do with it, and I think other decks are very likely to catch up to some degree. But right now, this deck looks insane. Looks like the best deck up until Top Legend, where I think Top Legend is more competitive overall, generally a more flat meta in terms of win rate, because people are very alert at Top Legend and know what to counter and know how to counter decks that become powerful, rise and play. But this deck is really, really good. Insane. Okay, but this is not the only insane mage deck, because Big Spell Mage, you know, naturally, it's always wanted to run 30 cards. It doesn't really care about Renathal. There was some patches in history where it ran Renathal due to some sort of meta force, but generally, it's naturally inclined not to run Renathal. It works really well. Again, the build from VS, it's a good website, has good builds with Arcane Defenders. Works extremely well. Astalor, obviously. Big Spell Mage is really good. It's another very strong mage deck. I think it only loses to, like, pure Paladin, because you don't have a way to deal with their early board development. The Divine Shields are a big problem for you. But other than that, again, like, the matchup spread is very green. It is very, very green. It does fine against Thief Frog. It's a close matchup. Against Ramp Druid, it's a close matchup. It destroys Frost Death Knight. I wouldn't say destroy, but it's very significantly in favor against Frost Death Knight, because you have Evoker, which is a lot of armor, so that stalls the game. And Barbara is a nutty card against Frost Death Knight. Like, if you get, like, imagine you get, like, a Horn of Winter cost swapped. Like, it just ends the game. And Frost Death Knight can freeze your giant board with Frostbite Fury a couple of times, but that's not enough. You don't get the job. It doesn't get the job done. And usually the Big Spell Mage is very comfortable in that matchup. So deck looks very, very powerful. Big Spell Mage, super, super good. Strong sleeper. Big Spell Mage and Aggrofrost are two of the best decks in the format. Two of the best decks in the format.
How about that?
Any other mage? Even Secret Mage is fine, Hat. Like, Secret Mage is... Like, I don't expect people will play Secret Mage, but Secret Mage looks decent. Looks pretty good.
You could.
You won't. It's just worse.
You could.
It's worse than Aggrofrost. It's worse than Big Spell Mage. So
worse
I don't
than
expect
spooky.
To see much of it. No, it's not even... I wouldn't even say it's worse than Spooky. It's just that Mage has so many options. I'm not sure that there is a capacity to play all of these decks, but Mage has 4 very competitive and successful decks in the format.
two of them being looking particularly insane. Though I wouldn't write off Spooky Mage being insane. I think maybe Prismatic Elemental is a card that you should just run in that deck. And suddenly, you know, the Magister Dawngrasp, you discover like a holy spell with Prismatic Elemental, or you discover some fell spell or something like that from another class. You juice that hero card even more. I can see that working pretty well in Spooky Mage. So Spooky Mage, statistically aggregated, because a lot of people are running Renathal, is not going to perform that well, but I think the 30 card builds have a lot of potential. So Mage looking great. Mage, turns out the class that is pretty focused on burn is really enjoying the Renathal nerf. So Mage, very, very good. Very, very good. Okay. Warlock.
So you're here to tell me that Death Rattle Warlock is the nuts, right?
I don't think so, Hat. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Warlock. Imp Warlock, obviously good. I do see a shift a little bit in the power level of the Warlock variants. I think Curse has gotten a lot better after the patch. Not because Renathal. No. Curse Imp was very good against Renathal decks. It was very comfortable in those matchups. It had good scaling, the damage. This is not the reason why Curse got better. The reason Curse got better, it was completely horrible against Miracle Rogue. Imp Warlock in general was not good against Miracle Rogue, but the Curse version was even worse. Horrible against Blessed Priest. You know, a lot of the decks that got deleted. So Curse Imp got better. But both Imp Warlock versions look very good. And looks strong throughout ladder. Warlock is definitely good. But the top legend hotness. A top legend, it's a different story. If you queue up a top legend, you're not there to expect Imp Warlock. You should be expecting Phylactery, because that is the more popular deck there.
I've seen a lot of those. Seen a lot of those today.
Let me tell you something, Hat. This is a very powerful top legend deck. Phylactery Warlock, you know, it's historically been a deck that's difficult to play, has a high skill cap. It's reasonable throughout ladder. It's not that bad at diamond. It's tier 3. But at top legend, it jumps. At top legend, it looks like a deck that could be a tier 1 deck. And why is Phylactery the nuts now? Well, think about it. They nerfed all of its bad matchups. Blessed Priest, Miracle Rogue, Quest DH were bad matchups for the deck. And now, Quest DH is weaker and slower, so the matchup is bad, but not as bad. And Miracle Rogue, for now, is gone. And Blessed Priest doesn't see much play either. I think Norwis is the only player who plays Blessed Priest right now. So Phylactery suddenly has good game, like good game against Tifro, good matchup against Ram Druid. You farm the Blood Death Knight, they'll disappear, but still the outlook is pretty good. You struggle against things like Pure Paladin, like Evolve Shaman, when they make a board that you can't really clear very easily. Or like they cheat you out with like a gold channel, a 10 drop. That's something that Phylactery is going to struggle with. Or Imp Warlock that builds strong board, like they you clear their first board, then they play Imp King Rafam or a Mischievous Imp. It's tough to deal with that. But otherwise, like late game matchups, very good for this deck. We all know at top legend people like late game strategies, so Phylactery is better positioned there. So there's a skill ceiling issue that causes to do better at top legend because matchups get better, but there's also a more favorable field. And Phylactery is a threat. This is a legitimate meta contender. But Warlock has two very viable and competitive archetypes now. Three if you count Imp and Curse as two different decks, though they're very, very closely related.
Maybe 1.5, but like it's if you ask what are the two best Warlock decks for me to play, and I responded with Imp and Curse Imp, I don't think that's how I would talk to somebody else.
So Phylactery
is really, really strong. I had not done the math on how good the new Legendary Devourer of Souls is.
It has infinite damage. There is no way around it. It could kill before the patch. It could kill a Renathal Carrial deck. Like, Carrial is up. You got 40 life and 5 armor. You can kill that.
Oh, yeah, easily. But it's the important thing for me is that you only need 2 minions to kill from 40. So you don't you don't need the Wicked Shipment board. You don't need to save a Fiendish Circle. If you just have Tamsin and just Devourer of Souls, that's enough. 2 minions.
Yeah, you're not as reliant on Wicked Shipment. You still want Wicked Shipment because it's really good with impending catastrophe. It's good with Rod. So you still want that. But in terms of saving it in order to execute later in the game, no, you don't. You're not that. It's not that important anymore because, again, the damage potential of Devour on top of Tamsin with Phylactery is absolutely insane. So, yeah. Warlock, very good looking, very viable, very competitive, very good. Okay, Paladin. Pure Paladin, insane. At most ladder brackets, you know, it's pure Paladin. So up until top legend, it's going to be insane. At top legend, it's still very good. Here's something I noticed. One thing that Unleash Felnerf did, it didn't do a lot. But the thing it did do is make the pure Paladin matchup significantly worse. At top legend, I think pure Paladin against Quest the Age was a slightly unfavored matchup for the Paladin. It was like close to 45-55. It was trending that way. Now the pure Paladin is favored. Over 55% win rate against Quest Demon Hunter, even at higher levels of play. So that matchup flipped. The Frost Death Knight matchup is the tough matchup for pure Paladin. But the other matchups are pretty good. It's going to struggle against things that generally pure Paladin struggles against decks that have really good burn. So like Aggro Frost Mage and Frost Death Knights, you kill yourself. Like, you damage yourself, right?
Well, I mean, Frosty K has Snowfall Guardian with charge. That's gonna beat Paladin. Like, you're not gonna beat that card.
Yeah, and you also kill yourself. You damage yourself, so you put yourself into range. It's the same story with Frost Mage. They just play Flurry, right? And they set up like a Frozen Touch turn and they kill you. So those matchups are tough. But Pure Paladin and other matchups seems to be very reasonably positioned. Even the Thief Rogue matchup improved because of it does better against 30 cards, Pure Paladin, compared to the Renathal Thief Rogue. Because the Renathal Thief Rogue could stabilize more easily. Like, Pure Paladin doesn't have burn, right? Unless you cheese through Countess with some charge legendaries or stuff like that. You're not going to burn out the Rogue, so they have more time, and they usually manage to get to their power spike before you can kill them. But now, I think it's a little bit better. Matchup is better. Matchup used to be quite bad, and now it's not that bad. Other Paladin decks, it's done. Jailer, Dragon, no. Jailer and Dragon Paladin are pretty much donezo.
Zach,
what
have you realized yet? For the first time since she's been printed, we're going to publish a report with zero Lightforged Carrials.
Let me think. There might be a list that sneaks up from like Control Paladin or Dragon Paladin that I'm still going to feature, but I'm just going to say, this is bad. Don't play this.
But this is the first time she's still legal in the format. It's the first time we're not going to recommend putting Lightforged Carrial in your Paladin deck.
It's the first time that Lightforged Carrial does not exist in a deck that's better than Tier 4.
Pretty crazy. Yeah,
it might be the first time. No, wait, but before the Order in the Court, Paladin was pretty sussy. Did they have a deck before Order in the Court?
In Nathria?
Yeah. What was it?
It had medium decks. It had really sketchy decks.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't remember. Honestly, Nathria is a blur to me.
But either way, I am certain that whatever deck we had in Nathria, Lightforged Carrial was in the deck.
Sure. So Pure Paladin doesn't run the Lightforge Carryall because it's all about
the order in the court curve.
Yeah, you've got a specific order in the court curve. You get your light rays first. So you need to play a few Paladin cards. Play order in court. You get the light rays. Then you get the Countess and the Blood Crusader. And you pretty much always play Blood Crusader alongside the Countess. And sometimes you coin it out on turn 5. Other times you play it on turn 6. They always come together. And that's how you win. Okay, so that's the Paladin. Demon Hunter. Demon Hunter. Okay, so Demon Hunter has a lot going on. First, Quest. Okay, Quest was the big threat before the Paladin changes. Initially, I was terrified on the first day of this patch because it looked to me like Quest DH was going to develop into like a tier S deck. Because despite the fact that it got nerfed, with a very light touch on Unleash Fell and a harder touch on Relic of Dimensions, a lot of its bad matchups also got nerfed. Like its tougher matchup, like the Blessed Priest matchup, the Death Rattle Rogue matchup. Miracle Rogue matchup was fine, but it was still a competitive matchup. So the other decks around it also got nerfed, which meant that its matchup spread actually looked pretty good. But since then, there has been a response. People refined other decks, people built new stuff. It did get slower and weaker because of the nerfs to Dimensions on Unleash Fell. Mostly, I think the bigger impact is the Dimensions nerf because it makes it more difficult for you to turn the corner in a lot of matchups. So you're noticing like aggressive decks, even like things like Aggrofrost Mage. That matchup used to be pretty bad for the mage, and now it's quite different. It's because like your ability to progress your quest and progress your game plan with the dimension nerf is significant. You're a turn slower, and that means that your opponent is more likely to just kill you before you can stabilize. And the Unleash Fell did affect some other matchups as well. Pure Paladin, I just gave an example. So Quest DH doesn't look that great anymore, not like it did in the first day of this patch. It looks like a tier 3 deck, honestly. Even a top legend looks like a tier 3 deck. It dropped off in its play rate, and it's not that big of a threat anymore. Though I will still queue into it once a session, and it's going to make me want to leave the client. Because I am so tired of that deck. I was tired of Demon Hunter having infinite damage and infinite life gain 2 years ago in Darkmoon Fair. When that deck first popped up, not the quest, but the Lifesteal Demon Hunter with Elgenoth. But anyway, that's Quest Demon Hunter. Quest Demon Hunter might be the worst Demon Hunter deck because Spell Demon Hunter or Fell Demon Hunter with spells and Soul and Scythe looks really good. I think it handled the Dimensions nerf much better because it does have a turn 5 play with Deal with the Devil. So it can deal with the Devil on 5, stabilize, then play Dimensions on 6. It has a reasonable curve, so it can do that. What it can also do is completely drop relics. And I remember there were builds that dropped relics before the patch that ran things like Coordinated Strike and just like Jace.
Are we sinful branding? Are we branding?
Yeah, so that build with like Coordinated Strike and Sinful Brand can do a lot of damage in combination with Strike or Feldorai Warband. I remember that build from early the expansion. It was so much worse compared to the Relic build that I didn't even feature it in the report. It was just garbage. But now, after this patch, it got so much better and it could be a viable path to Spell Demon Hunter, to Fell Demon Hunter. So that deck is showing a lot of promise. Not seeing a lot of play, but shows a lot of promise. And might be better than the Relic approach now because of the Dimensions nerf. So there's definitely some room to maneuver there, some potential there. And in general, Fell Demon Hunter, without the quest, looks like a tier 1 deck. Pretty much everyone on ladder. It looks very, very good. We'll see how it stabilizes, but right now it looks good. A lot of things will look good early on and will look like tier one decks. And then next week, you know, win rates will flatten and they might not be tier one decks anymore. But this is a contender to stay tier one because it's looks very impressive. It just is able to either play Relic of Dimensions and not mind it too much because it's got a decent curve without it, like with Deal of the Devil, or it just drops relics and does well. I think the Sinful brand getting better, a lot of it has to do, again, with the Renathal nerf. Again, you're a burn deck, and Sinful brand is a burn card. It's kind of a weird burn card, but it's a burn card. So decks are just much more vulnerable to these kind of combos, like Coordinated Strike Sinful brand can just kill the opponent sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, and you're talking about decks like when you're talking about pure Paladin or whatever, they're going to have things to run into. The meta before, you would have giant minions to run into on turn four, and then they would kill you because you couldn't do anything, or they would stay off board and then kill you from hand.
Or they would have stealth, like Ghost, what do you do?
Yeah.
As a Demon Hunter against Miracle.
Also, they would have stealth on turn four and then kill you. So it's the fact that minions are in play on turn six or seven or whatever, and you're able to rush into them, you're able to set up, you're not dead beforehand, you're not dead from hand the same way. There's not as much like full hand, no setup, kill you. It's a lot of damage over time, chipping down, and a lot of early minion snowballs. Well, not even snowballs, just early minion presence, and then decks will give up on the board. So Demon Hunter will have things to run the brand into. And that makes a big difference, and the life total is lower, so you get to kill them when you do it.
Yeah. Yeah, so point is, when it comes to Demon Hunter, Quest is okay, but it's not that amazing. It's good against, like, Thief Rogue. It's a good matchup. The matchup against Frost Death Knight is, like, very close. It's, like, 50-50 at this point. It will do better. It will do well in late-game matchups that give it time, but the faster matchups, the thing got worse for it. So it's not looking that insane, but there's a lot of room for exploration and more play in the scythe builds, the spell builds, both with relics and without, with just Sinful Brand and like a tokeny build that tries to combo Sinful Brand with either Warband or Coordinated Strike. And that seems much more promising than it was before the patch, where I looked at these builds and I just skipped over them because they were just so much worse than the relic package. Lots of room there, I think, for some refinement, for some figuring things out. And Demon Hunter is in a fine spot. I think it handled the nerfs fine. Like, the nerfs definitely did not kill the class. Nerfs that did kill, speaking of killing a class, Priest. Oh, baby. So, Norwis got number one legend with Blessed Priest. Is this deck still real? I don't know. Honestly, it sees such little play. I can't comment on it. I don't know. What I do know is that Plague Priest is done. It's gone. It's dead. The Renathal nerf absolutely killed it. I'm even a little bit surprised by it, but it's dead. It's tier 4, very firmly in tier 4. Quest Priest, dead. It is not a deck anymore. It is nothing.
Yeah. We've seen this before as well with when the minion scam decks die, because the Control Priest decks fed on Boon Priest and Rogue.
That
and
is a very good they're point. They're gone. That is a very important point. I should have said it in the first sentence. But yeah, Quest Priest and Plague Priest were successful decks partly because they were a product of the format, which tried to scam you, which you'd statted minions super, super early or very, very fast combos in which Plague Spreader was kind of an equalizer in those matches, like the Quest DH matchup. But, you know, Shadow Ward Ruin is no longer a good card. What does Shadow Ward Ruin do against Sacra Frost Mage, against Frost Death Knight? Does absolutely nothing. That card was more of a tech card for those Miracle Rogue Blessed Priest matchups where it just won the game instantly. But now there's far less incentive to run it, to run hard removal, to run things like Whirlpool. Like Whirlpool is like, it's 8 mana card. At this point, who cares? Like, Frost Death Knight laughs at you for playing that card. So the meta is very, very different from what it was. And as a result, not only did the Renathal nerf hurt the decks, but the format just became so different that control priest decks are just very poorly positioned in order to deal with these new decks that are rising in play. So Plague Priest gone, like matchup spread, like full red. Like it doesn't work anymore. And Cross Priest is also very close to that level. Very, very bad. And considering Blast Priest sees very little play, like maybe it's still fine at top legend, maybe. But honestly, I can't comment because there's not enough sample size. I said, very few players actually play that deck. But Priest is just looks pretty done. If Blast Priest is the only thing, like a fringe Blast Priest deck, that's far less powerful than it used to be. That's for sure. You can count on that. Then Priest is... that's all, folks. There's no Priest anymore. Yeah, Shaman. I'm scared. There's not a lot of stuff to say about Priest. It's just, it looks over. Shaman, Evolve Shaman, very good. Evolve Shaman looks very, very strong. It's a good deck. It's a deck that people are not inclined to play much of it, but it has a very well-rounded matchup spread. It doesn't have a lot of bad matchups. It probably doesn't see much play because it has like slight unfavorable against Thiefrogg and Frost Death Knight. And those are kind of the most popular decks. So when you're slightly unfavored against the most popular decks, people are not inclined to run that deck. But you look at the rest of the matchup spread, very, very good. And again, it's very hard. There's no hard counters. Like the worst matchup for Evolve Shaman is 45-55. That's the worst matchup. And against other meta decks, you have game against everything. You have game against everything. It looks like a very, very well... It reminds me of... It's a different deck, right? But it reminds me of Control Shaman's matchup spread early in Nathria, where it's like just good against everything. Very hard to counter.
Yeah, the Habu Gabu deck.
Yeah, so people are experimenting with... So you remember... We looked at the data, didn't like Sea Giants that much. We tried to switch it with other stuff. We suggested Azara and Rotgill. People are doing other stuff as well. There's another thing that people are doing, which is Neptulon Vol'jin.
Yeah, I've seen that. Because you prescience, you only have two Golchar, Nulls, and Glug. And so your last two minions are Neptulon and Vol'jin. Yeah. And so you have two Gnolls, and then you just plop at a Colossal.
Yeah, you just like you target your own totem with a Vol'jin and you cheat out Neptulon. Things do that, it's cute, it works. But again, you know, we'll figure it out next week. But people are trying different stuff in it, and it all seems to be working reasonably well. Most important thing is the shell of Evolve Shaman is what carries the deck, and with Prescience and all the minion generating tools that it has, and the tiny toys, Convincing Disguise, Powerful Swing. Yeah, good deck. Control Shaman, Brand Renathal, so you know the answer. It's not it anymore. This is not it. Any deck that runs Renathal, almost every deck, is just, it's not it. Is any Renathal deck actually good? There might be one hat. Might be one in Hunter. If you remember, Beast Hunter was the first deck. You remember...
In Voyage. Very end of Voyage.
Yeah, like end of Voyage. Renathal gets pre-released. Everybody starts running Renathal in all sorts of stuff. I record a podcast 3 days after Renathal saying, Renathal is trash. Man, it's shit. It's not good anywhere. It's garbage. It doesn't work. Because people tried to put it in decks where it wasn't actually a good fit. They tried to put it in hard attrition decks with removal instead of minion dense deck that Renathal allowed them to ignore removal and ignore defensive tools in order to pressure the opponent. Which is Beast Hunter. Beast Hunter was the first natural home of Renathal before even Denathrius got released. And Beast Hunter might be the last deck that uses Renathal where it still works fine. Now, here's the thing, though. Beast Hunter performs well with Renathal. I am just wondering if you can just cut Renathal and the deck gets better. I don't have an answer to that. I don't. Because nobody's doing that. So I do wonder. I did queue into one Beast Hunter player who cut Renathal. And I lost to it because it seemed powerful. So there's a shot that even Beast Hunter doesn't run Renathal. But Beast Hunter is comfortable running Renathal. It's the only deck in the format that I'm seeing right now that runs Renathal and looks good doing it. Okay? That's what I mean. Because even if it's just 5 health and the deck got nerfed in a vacuum, Hunter is all about racing the opponent. And any advantage that he gets in the race is good for it. So Beast Hunter seems fine. The build that we have pre-patch with the collateral damage seems well. I'm not liking Theron, though. We might replace that with another card. But generally, Beast Hunter does quite well. It doesn't see much play. But based on its sample, smaller sample, it looks powerful. It looks like it works pretty well. And I would experiment with 30 card builds of Beast Hunter as well. They're probably, I would expect them to be good as well. I just wonder if they're better than the Renathal. Because if they are better, then this is an absolute meta breaker, ironically, Beast Hunter. But there's another very promising potential meta breaker in Hunter, which is Spitter Hunter.
I'm shocked.
I was waiting for that. So Shock Spitter Hunter, I like calling it Spitter Hunter, is back. So turns out the burn deck that wins through burning the opponent with Shock Spitter is better in a format where Renathal was crippled.
I feel like I've heard this before today.
I believe that No Hands Gamer is the dude who has popularized the list that seems to be taking the meta by storm. Very, like, again, the play rate of Shockspitter, people don't know this because there's not enough information out there. Now we're getting that information out. Shockspitter's back. Again, this is the build that I saw a similar build to what I saw the most promise in the archetype before the nerf to Shockspitter, where there was a build that I saw that was going to absolutely dominate the format and it needed to be nerfed. You run Hydralodon and you run Stormpike Battle Ram so that you can discover 3 different beasts. You have 3 different beasts. You're still guaranteed to find a spitter off of Selective Breeder. But you have the option to just play an early Hydralodon with Battle Ram, play it on turn 5, and just win faster matchups that way. The deck is very versatile, but it still has insane damage potential thanks to Shockspitter. Also runs Astalor. We suggested that, and No Hands utilized it, added Astalor. Astalor is one of the best cards in the deck, hat. Turns out Astalor is very good.
So I respond. He posted, No Hands tweeted the list, and I responded. It's it like, he made the bold decision to add Iron Deep Trog and Astalor, and the deck got better.
I'm less convinced about Trog, but Astalor is absolutely a card that you should be running.
Yeah, and he cut Arcane Quiver, which also, like, it was a 2-mana tracking. Probably a good call.
Maybe, yeah. For this build, yeah. This build is, like, it's kind of Beast Hunter, but because you got the Hydralodon.
That's exactly what it is. It's Beast Hunter with Shockspitter. It's not Shockspitter Hunter. You just play more weapons, and you play Double Devouring Swarm. It's good.
So maybe when I'm saying, yeah, it just doesn't run Mountain Bears. So maybe this is the 30-card Beast Hunter that I'm wondering about. But I am curious about 30-card Beast Hunter with Mountain Bears. We'll see. Well, maybe we won't see because people really don't like playing Hunter. They're like, Hunter is like almost always underplayed for its power. But yeah, we'll see. But Shockspitter, I queued into Shockspitter after I got rolled over. That thing still scales insanely well. And yeah, Bran is doing Bran things. Turns out Bran is still a good card and we didn't nerf it. We just nerfed completely around it. And now we might have this deck pop up again and be extremely oppressive. I don't know. I have very, because the deck doesn't see much play, the matchup spread is, it's tough for me to evaluate weaknesses, but this deck has a very, very intimidating clock. Like, you cannot let it get to turn eight. It's just going to kill you. Like, it's still very, very fast in terms of executing its win condition. So I would guess the way to beat it is pressuring it. But yeah. Not a huge fan of this deck in general. I think it's a very binary deck that, again, puts a very hard clock on opponents and can be very meta warping if it's very popular. But so far, it's not that popular. We'll see what happens once the news is out that it's the nuts. Tier 1 everywhere on ladder, by the way. Yeah, it's that good. Okay. Warrior, the last class. What is going on with the Warrior? Honestly, even I don't know how. Enrage Warrior is fine. It's like, it's good. It's just people don't care to play it. It has a perception problem. Like, people are saying, why would I play this deck when there are better aggressive decks out there? And it's a fair question, but honestly, Enrage Warrior looks, based on its low sample, looks very good. It just, people don't care to play it. And it's hard for me to get an accurate estimate of its performance. But it's a very, at the very least, it looks tier 2. At the very least. Early in the meta, it's an aggressive deck. It might drop off in performance, but looks fine. Just people don't care. Control Warrior, forget it. Not happening. Control Warrior is still, like, the zip code is still 3 when it comes to its win rate. It's not happening. And that is it, I believe. That is the format right now.
We got all 11 classes. Yeah, I played some Enrage Warrior. You know that I am a longtime Enrage Warrior enjoyer, Zach. I'm just doing other stuff right now. It's still fun enough, but I'm not, you know, the fire cards are fun. Hawkstrider Rancher is fun, but it's not enough to make me play it over other stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there. And a lot of aggressive stuff out there that I think feels better. Maybe the burn, because Enrage is very board-centric. And if you get frozen by Frost Death Knight, I guess that can feel bad. So people are trying to find more damage from hand now with Renathal being pretty much gone. Guys, the only Renathal competitive Renathal deck is Beast Hunter. And Beast Hunter does not see much play. Renathal is done. And again, this brings me back. I think that Renathal should be unnerfed and rotated out to Wild, because my sense is that Wild players really enjoyed that card. And it's not that, it wasn't that big of a problem in Wild, and it allowed people to play janky stuff, and Wild players like to play, have more of an inclination to play janky stuff, and that helped, like, Renathal helped those decks be viable, and maybe now there's less space for them, which is an unfortunate thing. So maybe that's the way, that's the thing that should be done in April with Renathal. So yeah,
they probably won't, but they could. It's, I understand the format is I like a lot of the things going on right now. This is very much my kind of format, where you play ones and twos, you pressure, and then you kill from hand. The games are pretty quick, but they're not turn 4 quick the way they were before, turn 5, 6, whatever. Like, you know.
There's agency. There's agency.
Yeah, there's player agency. It is worth noting, there are no real good reactive strategies right now. It's just a question of how quickly your plan goes into place.
I think for those decks to come back at, I actually think Renathal needs to be gone. For Blood Death Knight to be good, I think Renathal needs to be gone. Like, Blood Death Knight, the problem is if it's ever good, it's forced to run Renathal because of the Elysiana tax. Because of the mirror. It's stupid. Like, just get rid of Renathal as a card. I think, like, before the patch, like, when they nerfed it, I said, I don't know if we needed to nerf Renathal. People enjoyed it and stuff. okay, you did it. But if you're doing it, if you decided that Renathal was a mistake and you decided that you deleting the card, delete it completely. The Elysiana tax here, I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
I'm sensing an Elysiana tax here.
There's this kind of like deck size arms race where you can't ever be a good deck without having to self-nerf. Because if the format ever becomes about these reactive decks, then people start running Renathal, then you have to, then your good matchups get worse. So I follow that logic. I can see it. It's interesting to see how things have changed. I will say the Renathal nerf has really made the format feel fresh. Like, this was an expansion launch. Feels really, really different. And games are definitely faster, a lot faster than Athria. Remember how for 4 months people were complaining about a 10 drop. People were complaining about a 10 drop. Like, would Denathrius even be good now?
Yeah, that's the thing. Here's the that's the thing that kind of bothers me. I feel that Denathrius nerf, I felt it at the time when they nerfed it. I feel it was completely unnecessary. And anyone who has said before that it's not Denathrius, it's Renathal enabling Denathrius was correct and is vindicated right now, because I'm pretty sure that if Denathrius was unnerfed right now, it would only see play in Druid.
Man, I would not read the replies on that tweet. Because, man, the discourse, if they ever unnerfed Denathrius, would be unbearable.
Yeah, now they kind of put themselves in a position. They can't unnerf it.
And I don't want them to. I'm not asking for it. I do not feel a need to see more Denathrii in my life. And I don't know if we would, but I don't need to open that door. But it is interesting to see just how much things have changed and
it wasn't
what
necessary.
Is left on the
if
table.
If you're making a nerf and it ended up being unnecessary, then you made a mistake. Because there are people who liked playing Denathrius, and if they really wanted to, they could have played Denathrius right now. But as I said, like, none of the decks that are viable right now in the format would play Denathrius save for Beast Hunter, right? You got Beast Hunter that barely sees play right now. It's good, but it would probably play unnerved Denathrius and Druid. That's it. And Druid is not like
and DK.
Good.
And DK.
No. Frost Death Knight?
So?
No.
No, Frost. The other ones.
Blood? I don't think Blood would play Denathrius right now. It's too slow. It's too slow, Hat. It's like maybe it would play it, but it's really slow. You know what? It would probably play it, but it wouldn't help it be good. Like, Blood Death Knight would not be good. It would still be tier 4.
And I don't know how much Denathrius was helping and how much it is helping now. It's.
Oh, you know what? I'll say it. It wouldn't be good. Denathrius without Renathal would not be good. And if Blood is taxed to play Renathal and plays Denathrius, yeah, it doesn't help it. It would only see playing Druid right now and Hunter. Look at the Order in the Court Paladins with Renathal right now. They're trash. Like, Denathrius would have helped them maybe a little bit. I think Denathrius in contest was completely unnecessary. And now you're if you were planning to nerf Renathal at some point, like, you nerfed it less than 2 weeks later, should have just left Denathrius alone. I don't like the Anubrakan nerf either. I think it's kind of clunky right now. I don't like how the card works right now. He didn't even take out the OTK. Like,
yes.
I don't see the point in the Anubrakan nerf. It's kind of silly. Like, you made it less intuitive and feels worse to play, but you didn't take out the OTK. Because all they need to do is just play the Astralord, 2-mana Astralord first, and they still have the OTK. So what did
the
nerf
achieve? If I complain
about
this nerf here on this podcast, it's going to be the third podcast in 2 days where I've talked about how much I dislike this nerf, but I'm going to do it. I dislike this nerf. It's the sequence of play feels awkward and terrible. You can't play Crypt Keepers with the card anymore. It just slows the OTK down, but people are now only playing it for the combo. It's really, really unlikely that you play this in any other turn now. It makes the card narrower and only emphasizes the evil part, not the good part.
I really dislike this nerf. This nerf does not feel like a Team 5 nerf. This nerf feels like a very clunky abomination of a change where they were tunnel visioned on one aspect and they didn't even address that aspect and killed all other potential applications for the card.
It feels like a Team 5 nerf to me. It feels like Kael'thas to 8 because what they needed to do was make something appear less often.
The Kael'thas to 8 nerf was fine. Like, in the sense of,
sure.
Like, I would have been fine if they just pushed Anubarak to 9. But this nerf is just such a Yeah, I really dislike it. I really don't like that change. I don't like the Denathrius change. I don't like the Anubricon change. Some of the changes I really don't like. Other stuff is fine. I don't know if the Deathrattle Rogue needed to be deleted that hard. Like, it's just not viable anymore. Like, you're just pushing everyone to play Thief Rogue now.
Deathrattle Rogue was only around because it cheated so quickly.
Okay, I'm going to say something. I'm going to declare something. Please do not nerf Thief Rogue now because it's popular. The reason it's popular is that the people who want to play resource-focused decks and want to do stuff in the late game, this is pretty much kind of their only option, one of their only options alongside like
they're not going to nerf Thief Rogue, man. There's no way. Wildpond Knoll rotates in 4 months, and this deck has been so popular the entire time it's been around, they rebuffed it. There's no way that they are nerfing this deck.
I'm just saying it for the record. Do not touch Thief Rogue just because it's popular and reasonably good.
They're not going to do it. This is everything that Hearthstone is. They're not going to do it.
Because it seems to me like they're nerfing whatever is popular. They're just scudding. They're just nerfing now. Like, they're not even like, oh, Renathos is popular, we're nerfing. Oh, Denathrius is popular, we're nerfing.
Stop with this Twitter Discord. Like, that is not what they're doing. Thief Rogue did not get nerfed. There are plenty of decks that people have played that are popular that didn't get changed.
We'll see after the holidays what happens, Zat. What if they nerf Thief Rogue?
Renathal, Denathrius, and Druid stuff were all really, really popular for a long time. Druid in particular. And they needed to have something with a brown border in the patch notes. The Renathal nerf, it was a start of game effect that was happening half the games, and Denathrius, like, this is not something that necessarily was happening at the high legend bracket. It just, when you look lower in the ladder, Denathrius was everywhere, and people were losing to it, and they were tired of it, so they had to get it out of the picture. They had to make sure the play rate changed, especially they probably had some pressure from higher up to make sure the new cards got the focus.
Oh, new cards are getting the focus. Astalor is more popular than Denathrius ever was. Astalor is
They're gonna nerf him.
It's in over 50% of the decks. It's in over 50% of the decks right now, and I'm telling you, it's underplayed. It is underplayed.
They're absolutely gonna nerf Astalor. There's no way.
That's
they don't.
The Thief Rogue nerf. That's the everything nerf.
Yes, it's like you see this card. It is so efficient at every point of the game, and also
it's better than Denathrius ever was.
And you probably see an increase in his performance as rank brackets increase, because higher level players will just play him on 2, 5, or 8 instead of waiting for the mana thirst to turn on.
I don't know if 8, but 2 and 5, yeah. Well, like, if you have nothing else to do, you play the Astalor on 2. You play the 2 mana 2-2.
But you know that at lower MMRs, they're just holding it for the value, so it probably improves with play skill.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's a card that you need to think about a few turns in advance, so obviously correct.
But I assume that they are going to nerf the hell out of Astalor. Like, they don't need to delete him, but he is Zilliax, so, like, they should probably change that, unless they want people to hear the Astalor music, which is a banger,
What's the second most popular card in the format hat?
Probably, if it's not still Renathal or Brand, then it's probably Schoolteacher.
It's Brand. It's Brand. Okay. It's Brand. I think there was another missing of the balance changes. I made a tweet, a meme tweet, about shooting the doctor in Team
Fortress.
Healer,
yeah.
They ended up nerfing Anubricon, nerfing Denathrius, and nerfing Shockspitter, when what they should have done is leave those cards alone. And, okay, maybe Spitter still should have been nerfed, but Just rotate out Brand. They could have just rotated out Brand and kept the cool flavor of Anubricon and kept the cool flavor of Denathrius and just rotated out Brand. I don't know why we nerfed around it so hard. We nerfed cool, flavorful legendaries to keep this generic core legendary around, and it's not even, like, I don't see any sort of, like, upside to it. Like, there's
people
nothing.
Like it.
It's just...
There clearly has to be a reason. There has to be a reason, man.
Hat, what's a more interesting format? A format with Anubricon in its previous iteration, as well as Denathrius, without Brand, or a format with Brand and less flavorful legendaries?
I mean, if you're asking if this format is interesting, I think it is.
Also, Brand Astalor is a thing.
Sure. I'm not defending that. I'm not going to tell you that I am. I'm not sure. I'm really not. But there has to be some reason they're keeping him around, right? There has to be some clear indicator somewhere in their side that they want Brand to stick around.
I'd like to know what the reason is. I'd like them to tell me what the reason
is. I'd be curious, but we have to assume there's some reason.
To me, it's insane that we're just nerfing all the cool stuff just because of Brand. We're nerfing around Brand so... like, look at how much stuff we're nerfing around this card. What is the upside of having Brand in the format that significant?
Three cards, right? It's three cards. There's been...
we nerfed three cards.
There was Denathrius, and there was Anubricon. Anubricon's the one I'm sad about.
We also nerfed Spitter.
Do not try and tell me that 2-2 Spitter should have stuck around. Do not dare and try and tell me that. That shit was nonsense.
Yeah, yes, but here, Spitter is now tier one. And why is it tier one?
Sure. Because I don't mind that Spitter is good. Do you mind that Spitter is good?
I kind of mind it. I don't like that deck. I don't think that deck, if that deck is 50% of the player of the meta, it's unbearable, Hat.
Well, okay, any deck is 50% of the meta, it's unbearable. Come on now.
Shock Spitter, Beast Hunter
seems fine. This is not like Candle Shot on one, kill you on seven anymore. It's not that same deck. I've played some of this. It's not the same deck. The original 2-mana 2-2 Shock Spitter was absurd and unpleasant. This is not that deck.
It's pretty unpleasant.
You've been looking at Hunter play rates for a while. You telling me that people are going to play this? This is going to be 50% of the meta? You telling me that? If Shock Spitter Hunter ever gets more popular than Thief Rogue, I will give you a dollar.
No, it's never going to be that. Why are you strawmanning me? I'm telling you, like, this deck is, like, if it's even 10% of the player, it is unbearable. I'm telling you, this is an unbearable deck if it's remotely popular.
Well, it's unbearable until you put Mountain Bears in. Then it'll be bearable.
Okay.
We should probably wrap up here.
I said what I said. I think we should have just rotated out Brand instead of nerfing around it and getting rid of all the cool stuff. I think an Anubricon was a cool card. Instead, now it's just used in the way that they didn't want it to be used. So for me, it's an absurd nerf. But yeah, whatever. Okay, so we had a new format. Look forward to the report next week. There's going to be, I'm pretty sure there will be more developments. But enjoy Hearthstone as it is now. A very different game.
Thank you. I am. So, listeners, thank you so much for being here. VS Gold, VS Silver Patreon members, extra special thanks to you. Everyone who subbed and supported this week, you're really special. You can look forward to the next report next week. Next week will be the last report of the year on Thursday the 29th. We will release the podcast, theoretically, on New Year's Eve on the 31st. That's our current plan. And, you know, it'll be fun. It's been a fun year. Evil Dave, thank you so much for the podcast transcriptions. Steven Sensei, thank you so much for the intro and outro. We'll talk to you all next week.
The Data Reaper podcast is an official production of Vicious Syndicate. Don't forget to sign up and contribute your game data to improve the quality of the weekly Data Reaper report. Instructions are available on our website, along with lots of other weekly content at viciousyndicate.com. Thank you to all of our patrons and data contributors for proving there's strength in numbers.